This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montagne.
And I'm Steve Inskeep. Good morning. Torrential rains in Indonesia are making it even harder to reach victims of an earthquake. Trucks are moving through that rain carrying emergency aid. They're trying to roll on roads clogged with debris. Dwathli Saikautau has been traveling along with them.
It's a very muddy scene out here, not just from last night's hard rain, but from last week's mudslides triggered by the two quakes, wiping out whole villages in a valley about 2 hours from the city of Padang. This morning, in Bonai Village, Paramian District, the aid group Save the Children continued to send truckloads of emergency aid to families still living in desperate conditions. 53-year-old Sierra is waiting for a tent. She says her house has been completely destroyed, but worse, her mother was killed by falling debris. She wears a light-colored headscarf and a colorful blue top. Her face is strong, her voice soft. She's visibly exhausted, but also traumatized by the loss of her mother.
Right now, all she's thinking about is being able to erect a tent and having her children help with that.
Mike Penrose is team leader of emergency response for Save the Children. He says their goal is to help as many as 165,000 earthquake survivors with boxes of aid.
Within these boxes here, you'll be able to see there are tarpaulins and ground sheets, along with fixing ropes and pegs so people can establish a temporary structure very quickly. These hygiene kits are designed for 3 children per kit, and inside them, you'll see, is a waterproof box, and it will have everything from toothpaste through to washing powder, soap, and the general needs that children will need.
No disease outbreaks have been reported by health officials, but lack of clean water, clean sanitation, and electricity are still huge problems. Schools reopened in some areas, while in others, schools were closed because their buildings were completely destroyed. From Padang to Paramian, Mike Penrose of Save the Children says the earthquakes left some structures untouched, while others were completely flattened right next to each other.
People's concept of bad is dictated by what they've experienced in their own life. And when you see here, 70-80% of the houses with a lot of damage, however much you prepare and however much effort you put into communicating about the vulnerability of people, all you need to do is show the pictures of people camped outside their houses in terrible circumstances.
Closer to the beach, not far from a Muslim fishing village, 39-year-old Kartini is distraught. No aid has reached her, her husband, and 6 children. She says she lived with her sister in Baru village when an entire wall in their home came falling down. Now they've got a blanket blocking the damaged wall and are surviving on instant noodles. She hopes aid will eventually get to her and her family. In their village of 320 homes, only 10 were not damaged. The good news is nobody was killed, but everyone is in need. Shaksin is with the United Nations Disaster Assessment and Coordination Team.
Today there will be an official announcement from the government that the search and rescue operation will end. We did all the search and rescue we could do in the days, in the last days. Unfortunately, we didn't find any live persons anymore. And now we agreed that the search and rescue phase will be over.
Scene says some foreign disaster teams are packing up today and leaving soon, while others are staying.
There is one team who has a medical mobile unit who is up north and helping people there. There is a French team who is providing to set up tents and to provide food for the population. So most of the teams are leaving, but some teams are prepared to do the humanitarian factor, and that means to help the population.
The Indonesian government says officially 343 people are still missing, but the number of dead is still unknown. For NPR News, I'm Dwathli Saikautau in Padang, Sumatra.